as we're looking at a series on Thanksgiving with these weeks leading up to Thanksgiving. As we looked last week at the first one found over there in the book of Luke chapter 17, where we looked at the lepers, and we looked at Jesus healed 10 of them, but only one came back in gratitude and gratefulness to say thank you, and that one out of those 10 was completely saved and made whole eternally, while 9, even though they were healed, they were not cleansed on that day. Let me tell you, as we talk about what it looked like to be hopeless, to be thoughtless, and to be thankless, I'm grateful this morning for Thanksgiving, aren't you? I'm grateful for redemption, and I'm grateful for salvation, and I'm grateful this morning for eternal life. And the three main points for you and me to take away this morning from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 18, Scripture says, in everything, not just some things, not just in the things that we like in life, but Scripture says, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. First of all, this morning, if you're taking notes there in your bulletin, first of all, thankful for God, the Father, the Creator. A few moments ago in the prelude this morning, the handbell choir played that wonderful old hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but if you remember the words of that song and you remember the incredible majesticness of that, Fairest Lord Jesus, I want you to know I'm thankful today. I'm thankful for God the Father, for God the Creator this morning. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the New King James Version, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, Elohim, that was the Hebrew name there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Whenever you think of God this morning, whenever you think of the Father, the Creator of this universe, what do you think of? How do you perceive this incredible, awesome, majestic God? Well, let me tell you, in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 24, it says that He's a consuming fire. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 5, it says, for our God is greater than all gods. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 69, verse 19 says, you know my reproach, my shame, and dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. And then the verse that says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah. And then the psalmist said in the 77th Psalm, verse 13, your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? And we sang that a few moments ago in the song, These Are the Days of Elijah. There's no God like our God. And then John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. 1 John 4, verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And then in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, I'm reading all of chapter 1 and the first four verses of chapter 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seeds, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, and each according to its kind. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Their young people, our image. Speaking of the Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The concept of it is in the Bible. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Notice he said, and let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the earth, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth, where they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Amen. We sing the song, our God is an awesome God. We sing the song, and there is none like you. This incredible God that we have just read about, the Creator, the Father of this universe, we're thankful this morning because he is the great I Am. He is the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the omnipotent one. He is all-powerful. He is the omniscient one. He is all-knowing. He is the omnipresent one. There's not anywhere that you can go. The psalmist said, if I make my beds in Sheol, the place of the grave, the dead, you're there. He said, if I ascend into the heavens, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, the psalmist said, you're there. Let me tell you, he is the omnipresent one. He is the infinite, the eternal, the everlasting Father, the God, the creator of heaven and earth. I'm thankful today for God, the creator, the father of this universe. J.B. Phillips, in his little book, he said, your God is too small. Meaning, of course, that you and I have somehow wrapped God in a small little package in our lives, and we cannot begin to even fathom the incredible, infinite, almighty God whose ways are above our ways, whose thoughts are beyond our thoughts this morning. He is the God of miracles. And just as we've refreshed our memories here in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Genesis, I could not help but be reminded of a couple of things that I read this past week in the news from space and the Hubble telescope, that out there in the vast heavens, out there are 2 trillion galaxies just in the observable heavens, just that they can observe out there, about 10 times more galaxies than was previously suggested. In an email with Live Science, Consolus, a professor of astrophysics at the University of Nottingham in the United Kingdom, said there were about 100 million stars in just the average galaxy. 100 million stars. He knows every one of them this morning by name. And in the same article, it's roughly estimated that there are some 10 trillion galaxies out there in the universe that they cannot even begin to plumb or scratch the surface of the science that God has put out there in this wonderful universe. I don't know about you, but I can't even begin to conceive in my finite mind, even though our minds, our brains are computerized as they are. There is this awesome God who created us with a DNA, who created us with a genetic code. And according to Scripture, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There are no two people with a fingerprint exactly alike. And this great, awesome, majestic God, this one who came, he just flung the stars and the moon and the sun and all of those trillions of galaxies and the millions and billions and trillions of stars that are out there. He just flung them all into space when he created those. Let me tell you this morning, you and I could never begin to plumb the depths of such an awesome God. I can remember Albert Lord Tennyson in one of his poems that he wrote called Locksley Hall. He said, before I dipped into the future far as human eye could see, I saw the vision of the world and all the wonder that could be. Let me tell you, is it wonder? Have you lost the wonder? Have you lost the majesty of this awesome God? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3 and 4, Moses is speaking to the Israelites, and he says, for I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. That means, young people, it's complete. For all his ways are justice. Angela, you mentioned that in Sunday school this morning. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Let me tell you, when Moses said, ascribe greatness to our God, the world may try best as it can. In astrophysics, NASA may try All of the scientists of this world may try, but they will never be able to plumb only a minuscule, only a minute part of this awesome, awesome, awesome world that God has created. This incredible, awesome, majestic God said to Job one day in Job 38, verse 2 through 5, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" Remember, young people, Job had lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost all of his 10 children one day in a tornado on the same day. He lost everything that he had. His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And Job began to take up counsel with God. And Job began to question. And Job began to make statements to Almighty God. And after God lets Job vent for many chapters, God comes back to Job. And that's what he says in verse 2. "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me." And then in verse 4, I love what God says to Job. "Where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." And then verse 5, God says to Job, "Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched the line upon it?" God was saying, "Job, you tell me if you know. Job, you tell me if you are so knowledgeable about all of these things. I'm the one that puts the measurements upon the earth. I'm the one who formed it in its circle. I'm the one who creates the times and the seasons, and the night, and the darkness, and the rotation of the sun." And this awesome God that tells us that you and I, our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. Aren't you grateful this morning? Aren't you thankful this morning for an incredible God? If you and I could understand everything there is to understand about God, then God would not be God. You see, God chooses because he knows that we are finite. God chooses because he knows we cannot even begin to plumb the depths of understanding of his incredible majesticness. And secondly, this morning, not only are we, should we be thankful for God the Father, the Creator, but secondly, thankful for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Redeemer, Emmanuel, God with us. The prophets of old, in the book of Luke chapter 2, as those Old Testament prophets looked forward to the coming Messiah. In Luke chapter 2, notice verse 10 and verse 11. "Then the angel said to them," to who? The shepherds out there abiding in the fields, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Thankful this morning for this awesome, awesome God that invaded this world, this sinful world. Because God could not look upon sin, he robed himself in human flesh to come and dwell among us. Why did he do that? So that you and I could identify with God. You see, Jesus himself was tempted with sin, just like you and I are, yet without sin. Why? Because if he had not been totally, purely without sin, born of the virgin birth, conceived of the virgin birth, if he had not been that away, he could not have taken away the sins of the world. He would be no different than anybody else. But I want you to know, he was tempted like we are, yet without sin. He is both God in his deity, and he in his flesh was humanity like us, yet without sin. He suffered pain and suffering. He understood, young people, rejection. He understood what bullying was all about. He understood criticism. He understood torture and brutality. He understood death on the cross. And so that you and I could be reconciled to a holy God one day looked upon a world that he created a paradise, and then man and Satan messed that up, and sin fell upon all flesh. And in our genetic code, we are all sinners. You're either a saved sinner this morning, or you're still lost in your sins, but we are all sinners. And this holy God came to this earth so that you and I might have redemption and salvation in eternal life. One of the greatest preachers of yesteryear said, every Sunday morning when I come to the pulpit, I make a beeline to the cross, because it's there through the shed blood of Christ that redemption came. And had it not been for that, you and I would not be here this morning. We would not have access to eternal life. In John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son, that's Jesus, into the world to condemn the world. But why did he send him? But that the world through him might be saved. You see, God loved you and me so much. He knew we couldn't pay the sin debt, and so he came to pay the debt he didn't owe. And it was a debt that we could not pay. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory to God. In the last few weeks, I've shared that with many, many people. Some that have received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. For all have sinned. Put your name in there. For Randy has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let me tell you, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then notice, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life, not temporary life, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 1 verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Acts 16:31, that last phrase, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the mouth, confession. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he, speaking of Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and be converted. Why? That your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. God himself, Jesus, came to give life everlasting. You and I cannot earn it. You and I cannot buy it. You and I cannot work for it. It's just that God, in his incarnation, that means in his flesh, young people, the incarnate Christ came to this earth in human form, wrapped in flesh like we have. And Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. You see, Jesus was willing to shed his own blood. I brought up the fact just a couple of Sundays ago in the forgiveness series how that God planned it. God planned, even though Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross, that God planned it before the foundation of the world that he would come and invade this space and bring redemption to us through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. God loved you and me so much that all He asks is that we receive by faith this wonderful gift of grace. Baby Jesus, that our precious kids sing about in Bethlehem in the manger. Jesus, who grew up in a carpenter shop. He knew what it was like to work and to labor and to build. Jesus, who walked among men and then at age 33 went to a cross and died and shed His blood. I'm thankful for that He didn't stay on the cross. I'm thankful that He arose over death, hell, and the grave victoriously. He is the living hope for this world. I'm thankful that He made His ascension into heaven where He sits at the right hand of God the Father, the Creator. And the Bible says, what's Jesus doing this morning, young people? The Bible says He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7 says, therefore He, Jesus, He is able, also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. If you want to go to heaven someday, to get to God, let me tell you, you've got to go through His Son, Jesus Christ, or you'll never get there. He always lives, Scripture says, to make intercession. Romans 8, 27, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'm thankful today for God the Father, the Creator. Secondly, I'm thankful today for Jesus Christ the Son, the Redeemer of our sins. And third and lastly, I'm thankful today for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Jesus told His disciples as He was going young people up into the clouds to go back to heaven 40 days after the resurrection. And Jesus said to them, they were to go back into Jerusalem. They were to wait there until He sent the promise. What was the promise He was going to send? It was the Holy Spirit. It's the third part of the triune God. God Father, creators, God the Son, the one who redeems us from sin. And then when Jesus went back to heaven, He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. That is God in us. You see, God is one person. He operates in three fashions. He was the creator of the universe. Secondly, He came in human flesh to die on the cross. Thirdly, He ascended into heaven but said, I'll send the Holy Spirit to bring comfort to your heart. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit that interprets the Bible for you. It's the Holy Spirit who lets us know when we're right and when we're wrong. It's the Holy Spirit that comforts us when we are grieving. It's the Holy Spirit that is the seal of redemption for us to let us know that we're saved. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. So this morning, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him, through Jesus, who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. I want to stop there for a minute. For I am persuaded that neither death. Paul said, if I live, I'm the Lord's. Paul said, if I die, I'm the Lord's. Paul said, whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, young people, nor principalities, speaking of people in higher places, governments, powers there, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able, shall be, nothing in the future shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you, the songwriter said, I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is all I long to do. I lift my hands, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find that there is none like you. Jesus, 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 there's just something about your name, Master, Savior, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms may all pass away, but there's something about your name. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome, awesome God. Thankful this morning for God the Father, the Creator. Thankful to God this morning for Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Thankful this morning for the Holy Spirit who lives in my heart, who leads me in all truth, who interprets the scripture for me, who tells me when I'm right and wrong, who convicts me that I need to tell somebody about Jesus, who is my comforter when I'm alone, who is my comforter when I have losses in life. Let me tell you, this awesome, awesome Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, breathe on me until my heart is clean. Let sunshine fill its inmost part with not a cloud between. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart. Cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. The chorus says, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart. Cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. You know what made the difference, young people? In Peter, the night before Jesus went to the cross, pre-crucifixion, Peter denied Jesus. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. Jesus said, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. And that night, Peter cried, he wept profusely because he had so disappointed Jesus. But I want you to know, after resurrection Sunday morning, after resurrection, let me tell you, and then 50 days later, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, let me tell you, Peter was a whole different person. I mean, those disciples were willing to die for Jesus. This morning, thankful, 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 grateful to Jesus, to God, to the Holy Spirit for what he's done. I leave you with this thought this morning. Be an organ donor. Give your heart to Jesus. Would you stand as we pray together?